we are doing Drashat Ramban, and the Ramban had been explaining what was the great promise and what was Avram's request. The Ramban had gone into the discussion of what really happened during the Brit Ben Abtarim, that great covenant, and why is it that God begins by telling Avram, you will have great wages? And Avram asks him, how will I know? So the Ramban went into a deep shot, and now the Ramban is going into a simple shot. He says, "Val derech hapshat." And the simple understanding, how come when God promises Avram the land of Israel, Avram asks, "Bamai daki rashena," with what will I know that I'll inherit the land of Israel? Od bikesh shvua b'matana azot, that Avram was asking for a promise that he will get this gift, the land of Israel. Because any promise, any assurance that God gives to the righteous, hem mevinim oto al tnai, they understand that there is an unsaid condition. And this is a very important point. God tells someone he's going to give him something. God tells someone something good is going to happen. The righteous understand that there is an unspoken condition. Kinyan shekatuv, as the verse says in Jeremiah, v'rega adaber al goy v'al malmacha livnot v'lintoa, at a point I will prophesize about a nation, about a kingdom, to build, to plan, v'shava goy yahu, and then that nation will turn back on their good ways. They will turn back. They'll stop being deserving. V'asahara lefanai, and they will do that which is bad before me. V'nichamti ala tova asher dibarti la'asot lo, and I will change my mind from the good that I had said to do to them. So the Ramban is now tackling a verse in Jeremiah which poses great difficulty. The Rambam writes, Maimonides, in the Halachos of Yisodei HaTorah, the fundamentals of Torah, the Rambam writes, how do we verify whether a prophet is telling the truth or not? So the Rambam says, if the prophet says something bad will occur, then if it occurs, fine. That shows, that's one sign that he's telling the truth. But if it does not occur, then that doesn't prove anything. Because maybe it's like Jonah, who came and prophesied that Nineveh would be overturned in 40 days, and then the people repented, and that's why God changed his mind, so to speak. God said, if they repented, so they no longer deserve to have this bad thing happen to them. So says the Rambam, how do we verify whether a prophet is telling the truth or not? When the prophet tells us something good is going to happen, if he says, tomorrow there will be great wealth in this country, God will bless this country and will heal all the sick, if he gives a prophecy for something good and that does not happen, then we know he's a liar. Because when God says something good will happen, he does not change his mind. And the question that we would have on this Rambam is what the Ramban, Nachmanides, just quoted from Jeremiah. The prophet seemingly says in Yirmiyahu, he says that God may at a time prophesy that good things will happen to the nation, and if the nation turns back and is sinful, then God says, okay, you are no longer deserving of this prophecy for good. So this pasuk seems to be in clear contradiction with the Rambam, right? The Rambam says a prophecy for good is never taken back, and Yirmiyahu here seemingly says that a prophecy for good is taken back.
And this is not the good, we are constantly learning that God, it's free will. He can change one direction. In other words, what does he want? I don't know. Existence.
He
has just free will.
Yes, but it's true that God could do what he wants. At the same time, God chose to give us the capacity to test the prophet whether he's telling the truth or not. And if every prophecy can be changed, God could say one thing today and then tomorrow do differently, then how could you ever verify whether a prophet is telling the truth? That's why the Rambam says the prophecies for good, they cannot change, and that's how we test the Navi. If he says something good will happen and he's wrong, then we know he's a liar.
Maybe they can delay.
He's saying a beautiful thing.
He's just giving this prophecy to Abraham, and Abraham, it's not like he's giving it to the. They're not testing him. There's no one testing Abraham.
Kol hakavod. You're mechavin to Rambam in a different place. Rambam in Hakdamah leperush haMishnah. Rambam says what you said. Rambam makes a distinction between prophecy that's given to say to other people and prophecy that's a private prophecy. Right. Excellent. Beautiful. And maybe that's how we would explain the Ramban, to say that the Ramban isn't in argument with the Rambam. Meaning, beautiful. Excellent. Ukmo, you want to say something, Ashachan?
Maybe they can be postponed, this good prophet. So if you are not now not fit for them, maybe okay. You are now you're not for this, and it will be postponed. Like child, a father keep this gift for him, but now it's not good behavior. So father said, okay, let it be with me. Now I cannot give him because such behavior. But afterwards, when it was tshuva, he will receive eventually, ultimately.
I hear what you're saying. The slight difficulty in that is the words of the Navi, v'nichamti ala tova, which literally seems to mean God changes his mind over the good that he said. We could explain it the way you said, but the words aren't indicative of this understanding.
Hashem is not going to change his mind about a positive prophecy. What if everyone just becomes really bad in the course of a day?
Okay, so that's a good question. Maybe Hashem will give the good prophecy that he said and then punish them. It's not contradictory. Okay. Uchmoshe katav b'seder olam, and like the Medrash says in Seder Olam, hapesha amar, the mouth that says to King David, and not to King David, to King Solomon, uvaniti l'chavayt ne'man kasho vaniti l'David, I will build you a trusted house, just as I built for David. Hapesha amar, that's the same mouth that says, a short while later, uvialti achrei bet Yerovam kasho yiver hagala latumo, I will destroy after the house of Yerovam, just as, I'm sorry, I confused it. The pasuk that says, I will build you a trusted house like David, that pasuk was said to Yerovam. Yerovam ben Nevat, when God told him, you should seed from the Davidic dynasty, seed from the empire of Rehavam, of David's house, and I will establish you a trusted house just as I established for David. Then, a short while later, when Yerovam is sinful, Hashem says to Yerovam, I will burn after the house of Yerovam, I will destroy after the house of Yerovam, just like an animal that destroys the food that it masticates to completion. So you see, initially God says, things will be good for the house of Yerovam, it will be a trusted house like the house of David, and then God says, I will completely destroy the house of Yerovam. V'chen rabim. And so we find many times, says the Medrash, lefichach amar lo, that's why, continues the Ramban, what was Avram saying to God? He said, Shema yechte'u banai velo yizku liyorsha, maybe my children will sin and they will not merit to inherit the land of Israel. You just told me I will have the land of Israel, my children will have the land of Israel. Well, maybe my children will sin. And we know that Avram was right. The Jewish people in Egypt, they plummeted. They went down to the depths of defilement. Or Shema, or Avram said, maybe Yizku Oda Emori velo Yishlam Avono. Maybe the Emori that are currently living in the land of Canaan, maybe they'll suddenly have more merits, and then by what right will my children come in to inherit the land? Tinyan, just as the concept that the prophet says in Yirmiyahu, Rega adaber al goy val mamlacha lintosh velintot u la'avid, at one point I will say about a nation, that they will be destroyed. But if that nation repents, the Navi Yirmiyahu says, God could change his mind. Savram said, you're telling me that you'll destroy the people who are living in Canaan now. You're telling me you will give my children the land of Canaan. Well, maybe my children will not be worthy, and maybe the nations that are here will repent, and they won't be deserving of being exiled, of being destroyed. Just as we find in the city of Nineveh, that the people repented, and then the decree for their destruction was repealed. And that's why God says to Avram, Avram, you just asked me, how do I know that I will really get the land of Israel, that my children will really inherit it? So God says to Avram, Kechali egla meshuleshet. Take for me a calf that is tripled. Lichrot imo brit, to cut with him a covenant. Bishloshet minea beimot akrivot legabe hamizbeach, with the three types of animals that are offered as a sacrifice. Uvminei haofot akrivim, and with the different types of birds that are brought as a sacrifice. God said, we'll take the three types of animals. There are three types of animals that can be brought as a sacrifice. We will take them and the two types of birds that are brought, and with that we will make our covenant. Ve'efshar afilu lifurushe, and we could even explain, shiramash lo inyan hakorbanot, that God was alluding to this concept of sacrifices. Don't worry that your children may sin. I will give them the capacity to repent. I will give them the capacity to bring sacrifices. Kedat Rabotenu, which is the way our sages explain the verses. V'Avraham evin nama amar lo kechali elu. And Avraham understood, why was God telling him, take for me these? Because Avram, that was Avram's request. Could you make a covenant with me to ensure that this will happen? That's why the verse says, Avram took all of these, so to speak, for God. They sliced those animals and they passed through the slices. And here they instituted this concept of a covenant. So, in ancient times, the way they would make a pact was they take something, divide it in two, and walk through the thing that was divided. And this was an indication, if we don't live up to our ends of the pact, whoever doesn't live up to it should be divided, like this animal was sliced in half, or whatever it was that was sliced in two. So that's what they did. They took these animals, and Avram took the animals, sliced them in two, and then they passed through the animals. And Nachmanides says, being that they were making the pact, and this was the way to make the pact, why does the verse say, but the bird was not sliced? Why? Then the verse says, and this bird, the ayit, whatever it is, a vulture, came down on the meat, and Avram chased it away. This verse seems to be superfluous. What do we care if a vulture comes down, sees the meat, wants to take from the meat? That's the way the world works. Why does the Torah have to tell us that this bird tried to swoop down, take some of the meat, and Avram chased it away? And obviously, it's fitting that Avram will chase them away so that they don't get the sacrifice dirty and they don't need it. So why does the Torah have to tell us this part of the story? Elagam baze rimis. But this too is an illusion. Shaumot yavo levatel korbanotav ulafel britoim elohav. That the nations will come and try to destroy our sacrifices. They will try to annul the covenant with God. Shagoim nimshalim leofot. The nations are described as different birds. Shneimar, as the verse says, Hanesher HaGadol, the great eagle. The great eagle is a reference to the Babylonian Empire. So the different nations are referred to as different birds. And just as we find the Babylonian Empire was called the great eagle, so too we find other nations were referred to as other birds. So part of the vision of prophecy was that the nations will come and try to destroy the capacity for the sacrifices, to annul the covenant. And his merits or the merits of his children will chase them away after they've swooped down upon them. Remez, this is an allusion, legalut, to the fact that there will be exile, just like the bird did swoop down on the meat, and just like Avram chased them away, the merits will ultimately chase these eagles, these birds away, and will reach the point of redemption from the exile, from the hands of these birds.